The conference has been muted.
So if we go to the next slide, the Arkansas Out of School Network is again a sponsored initiative of Arkansas State University. Our mission is simple. Our goal is to create safe, healthy, and enriching learning experiences for children and youth ages 5 to 19 during the out of school time hours. On the next slide, we'll tell you a little bit more about the Arkansas Out of School Network. Again, we're sponsored by Arkansas State University, housed within the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences in the Department of Childhood Services. We are one of the 50 state after-school networks within the United States, with support from the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation and other state-level partners. AOSN is working to expand access to quality after-school and summer learning programs. And if we'll go to the next slide, I'd like to tell you a little bit about where we are in terms of after-school in our state. Our demand for quality after-school and summer programs continues to grow, as you can see on the screen. Today, what we know is that we have about 13% of our children who are unsupervised or who are not connected to any kind of organized after-school program during the week. We also know that if we think about it, we only have about 13% of our students K-12 in Arkansas who are participating in an after-school program. Yet we know that more than 190,000 students, grades K through 12, would participate if a program were available to them. And so we have a ways to go. And if all those children were participating, we would have nearly half of our student body population in Arkansas participating in a quality after-school summer after-school program. So we have a bit of work to do. And this data comes to us from the After School Alliance America After 3 p.m. survey from 2014. Let's take a look at our next slide, please. So today I am so pleased that we have two guest speakers, and I'm going to unmute the call so that they'll be able to speak and you'll be able to hear them. But we will ask that you all remain on mute, self-mute your line, so that we do not get any additional background noise.
The conference has been unmuted.
So today we are so pleased to have Chris Nietzsche, who is the Director of STEM Initiatives, and Jillian Luxner, who is the Policy Manager. They both come to us as one of our national partners and key allies at the national level. So welcome, Chris and Jillian, and they are with us from the After School Alliance. And I'll take this opportunity to again remind everyone to hit *6 to mute your line if you're not speaking. And with that, welcome, Chris and Jillian.
All right. Thank you so much, Levita. It's great to be here with you all, online at least. So I'm Chris Nietzsche. I'm the Director of STEM Initiatives here at the After School Alliance, and I've actually had the pleasure of working with Levita for a few years now, especially helping support Arkansas and some of the work around STEM, but also just anything in general to really help move the field along when it comes to after school and out of school time. And Jillian will kind of pick up at some point during this presentation. And actually, Jillian, do you want to introduce yourself before we get started?
Sure. Hi, I'm Jillian Luxner, Policy Manager with the After School Alliance. Pleased to be here today. I have been with the After School Alliance for 5 years and am looking forward to a great conversation.
Awesome. So can we move to the next slide, please? All right. So as Levita mentioned, this webinar is all about career and technical education and really how it kind of works in relation to after school and out of school time in summer programs. So we figured we would start with a definition of what CTE is. Some folks on here are probably familiar with it. It might be new language to some of you, some of the others on this line as well. But really when we talk about CTE, what we're talking about is preparing both middle and high school, so secondary age students, for their careers. And sometimes those aren't necessarily just, you know, from high school to career. It could be from high school to a trade school, it could be a community college, it could be a four-year institution, but really how do we make sure that those students that may not be interested in a four-year degree leave their high school or a trade school with the skills to really pursue some kind of career in a high demand field. So it's really shaped around what are the areas that are in high demand. So in Arkansas or other states, like what are the jobs that are in high demand, and how do we prepare students with the skills and really the knowledge base to pursue careers in those areas? So a good way to kind of think about this is, I know at least for me and probably a lot of people, when they were in middle and high school, they were more familiar with VOTEC or vocational education. That's kind of transitioned to CTE now. When you think of VOTEC, for me, it was there was automotive repair and there was cosmetology, and that was kind of it. So it was very focused on two or three different types of jobs. Now it's kind of transitioned to these career clusters. So instead of those two to three different types of jobs, it's now transitioned to these 16 career clusters. And within those clusters are many different types of pathways. Those are not just low-skill jobs. Many of those are medium to high-skill jobs. So you're talking about information technology, healthcare professions. Many types of these careers that are in high demand are part of a lot of these different CTE-type programs. It's kind of baked into a lot of what middle and high school is starting to do as far as aligning different types of programs. So for me, when I was in high school, the kids that were in like automotive repair or cosmetology would be kind of taking a bus to a different type of site. Some of these CT programs are kind of built within the high school itself now. They've brought them in-house a little bit more. So you're not sending kids off to or students off to a different site. You're actually being able to align their CT programming with their education. So it's not something that's done in addition to. It's something that's done within. Next slide, please. So those are kind of the different ideas around what CTE is. So I mentioned the career clusters. So I pulled this Arkansas Career Fields and Clusters and Pathways from the Arkansas Department of Career Education website. So what you'll see here is kind of the 16 different career clusters, which are in the many different colors. So agriculture, arts, AV, technology, communication, IT, architecture, STEM, government and public administration, health science, many different types of career clusters out there. And within those career clusters are career pathways. So if you're looking at IT within that greater career cluster, there's many different pathways around network systems, programming and software development, web design. A lot of these, what we would consider STEM and computer science type careers, are part of the CTE kind of landscape in these career clusters. So that's kind of a good overview, I think, of what CTE looks like. And when we look at CTE, what those career clusters and pathways actually look like. So when we say CTE, we're not talking about that traditional, what some of us may have experienced, like automotive repair and cosmetology and some type of wood job. We're looking at actually pretty medium to high skilled jobs that are in demand in a lot of these different areas. And how do we actually get kids aware of those jobs that are available and make sure they're on the track to actually pursue those if that's something of interest to them? Next slide, please. I do want to kind of apologize in advance. I'm getting over a cold, so if you hear me cough, sorry for that. So on this next slide, this is kind of diving into what CTE looks like within the state of Arkansas. The Arkansas itself receives about $13 million from the federal government. The Carl B. Perkins Act, and within that is funding two states. And within, if diving a little bit deeper there, we see that kind of that bottom right side where it's broken down between secondary and post-secondary. So if we're looking at middle and high school age students in schools, the majority, 75% of that funding is going to support students within that age range. And about 25% is going to support more what we would consider adult learners, so post-secondary recipients in CTE. So a good chunk of Arkansas's dollars are going to support secondary age recipients, so middle and high school students. So I think that's a prime opportunity, considering the majority of the age that we serve in after school is elementary through high school, but especially around middle school age. This is a good opportunity to really kind of get in and understand how those CTE dollars are flowing to programs and how maybe after school can help support those CTE initiatives at the local level. Next slide. All right, and this is another kind of slide that I pulled from the U.S. Department of Education CTE page. This is what CTE currently looks like in Arkansas, and I will say this is like a snapshot from 2017 through 2018, that school year, with the new legislation that passed in 2018, and Jillian will kind of talk about what that might look like in the future. Arkansas is currently regoing kind of an assessment and a planning process around what CTE will look like in the state, so this could change. What the legislation around Perkins says is you should align all of your concentrators and what you're making available to your students based on what those in-demand careers are within your state and particularly around certain regions. So these should align with what the jobs look like within the state of Arkansas. So what you'll see here is a lot of concentrators around agriculture, food and natural resources, health sciences, human services, and information technology. I think those are the top four right there. And kind of looking at these, I think we can kind of see where after school and out of school time might align with this. So if there are programs that might be focusing on health sciences or getting kids interested or understanding of what types of careers they could pursue in nursing or other types of health services, that's a way to kind of align it to maybe the local CT initiative within your region. IT, I think, is another good one, especially with the programs that have a STEM focus or computer science focus within their programs that they're serving. If you're doing some computer coding or doing some kind of network or IT-type programming with your students, there's a way to really align that opportunity with the state's focus on information technology jobs and careers. And same with in food and natural resources and agriculture. I think that's one that's specific to more of the traditional agriculture and farming, but also natural resource management, whether that's green energy or some of our more traditional energy type jobs. If you have a specific program that's making kids aware of either through site visits to different local jobs or careers, or maybe having mentors come in and kind of make your students aware of what those careers are. These are great opportunities to think through how maybe I can make some connections when I hopefully want to go and meet with my local CTE director. Here's where I might fit into the state and also the local plan around career and technical education. Next slide, please. All right, so we've kind of talked about what CTE is. We've talked about where Arkansas kind of sits when it comes to their focus around CTE and how much money they get. What we wanted to kind of focus in now is what that CTE type program looks like within the after-school field, in the out-of-school time field. So we've got a few different examples. The first one that we'll share comes to us from New Orleans, Louisiana. It's a program called Uncommon Construction. And they are a program that I think they're working with pretty exclusively within the New Orleans Parish and maybe some other schools outside of it now, but really looking at what are the in-demand careers within New Orleans. So after Hurricane Katrina, all the damage and devastation that came about from the hurricane, there's a lot of rebuilding that needs to happen. So there's a high construction industry, or there's a very, very robust construction industry within New Orleans. And tied to that construction industry are a lot of different types of careers that are related in some way. So Uncommon Construction, you know, used this idea around, well, there's plenty of these careers within construction and jobs within construction. How do we build a program for our students within New Orleans to make them aware of these types of jobs and careers that they could pursue after high school or even after college that will be some way related to this in-demand field? So they provide students with on-the-job training. They do about 100 hours of internship type or apprenticeship type programming in each semester where they're actually going to a build site either on the weekends or I think sometimes after school and really working on the actual construction of a home. So students get real like hands-on experience building a home, but also they work with different types of mentors and different types of partners, whether those are in finance or real estate, or engineering or electrical engineering, and really understanding what goes into building and selling a house. So you really get all these different types of careers that are in some way related to construction, and really develop that interest and ideally pursue some kind of career within this construction industry. And the other good thing is that the students get paid, and they get credit from their schools for participating in this. And they even, I think, at the end of the conclusion of their program, they get a nice little stipend that they can use to either support further education, following some kind of pathway that they may have become interested in during the program, or they can use it in some other way to support kind of some kind of whether that's a job or further education. Maybe it's to buy a car to get to school or to get to their job site after the conclusion of their program. It's one of our favorites to highlight, and it's one to really think about. Like, it is something that's involved in the out-of-school time space. It's happening on the weekends. The program is very well embedded within some of the local schools as well, so they're not just, you know, outside of the school. They're in the school. They're helping provide a lot of those wraparound supports, mentoring, counseling, even some academic enrichment support to the students that are within the program to help make sure that they can get through high school and kind of have a career in one of these areas. Next slide. Here's another example of a CTE-type after-school program. After School All-Stars is a big national organization that has many different cities that are kind of within their network where they have programs. An example of a CTE-type program within After School All-Stars is Big City Builders, and we're most familiar with the Big City Builders in Washington, D.C. So a lot like the Uncommon Construction within New Orleans, there's a lot of construction happening around the D.C. area in certain areas. So with that construction that's happening, After School All-Stars realize that they can build some programming around this to make sure that the folks that are involved in this construction industry, again, from either the real estate folks, the finance folks, or some of the more direct level partners like the architects and the engineers and the construction crews, building some programming around that to make sure that students have an opportunity to really see what's happening within the whole construction industry. So they do similar work to Uncommon Construction. I think it's more focused. They have opportunities available more for the middle school through high school level, so it's not just kind of that work-based learning. It's actually a little bit more having some field trips or having some guest speakers come in and speak to their students and really work with their students to make them understand what kind of opportunities are out there within these types of industries that are in their backyard, really. So that's another example of what CTE looks like within after school. Next slide, please. Oh, awesome. Lavita, do you want to take this one away?
Absolutely, Chris, and thank you. And by the way, before I go into the examples, I just want to remind folks to mute your line by hitting *6 or using your mute button on your phone unless you have a speaking role today. Secondly, we have some handouts that are loaded. If you expand your menu on the upper right-hand side, we have an overview of out-of-school time and workforce in Arkansas, the draft Perkins plan for the state, as well as an overview of the Perkins Act itself, and then the timeline for Arkansas's planning process, along with some sample language for public comment, and we'll get to those a little later in the webinar. And I also want to say, if questions arise, you don't have to wait until the end. You can use the chat section and type a question, and we'll be monitoring that. But back to these wonderful Arkansas examples, the two that we want to lift up today. One is Camp War Eagle and the Amazing Shake initiative. Camp War Eagle is based in Northwest Arkansas in Bentonville. And each year, Camp War Eagle, in partnership with local business and community leaders, hosts the competitions for its 2nd through 5th grade students. And this is really important because Chris has already indicated the focus on middle school. And under the Perkins reauthorization, the Perkins and CTE initiatives can really be targeted to young people as early as 5th grade. And so the goal of this is to prepare the students for the workforce by putting them in actual real-world situations. And so Camp War Eagle, through the SOAR program, which is a 21st Century Community Learning Center program, they focus on preparing kids for the workplace and getting ready for the job and submitting their resumes and public speaking and sitting through a real job interview process and role-playing workplace scenarios. And then the winner of the competition receives a scholarship to be placed in a savings account. So there we go, connecting to post-secondary, while the top six win a trip to the national competition in Atlanta. And so you have a partnership, and I should say that Camp War Eagle and the SOAR program, they're very active and engaged in partnering with their local education partners as well. And then we move over to the northeastern part of the state in Jonesboro, Arkansas, where TechStars is a program and a partnership between the Jonesboro Regional Chamber of Commerce, and where they're hosting their annual summer camp for eighth graders, which allows them to engage in career exploration, and in particularly because Jonesboro, Arkansas has a rapidly growing and expanding manufacturing base there in the manufacturing sector. Lots of new jobs are coming through, and these require a higher level of skills. And so these students are engaging with engineers, scientists, industrial mechanics, in hands-on, on-site projects where they learn about the various career opportunities. And since Jillian is on here, I'll just flag for her that this is in Congressman Rick Crawford's district, and each year he hosts a manufacturing tour where he brings together teachers and local industry partners to talk about local workforce needs. And this is tied into the CTE Perkins plan because, as again, it's already been stated, those planning and those concentrators really need to be focused on real industry, local industry needs. And so in Arkansas, we have two shining examples. There are others, but I'll stop, of how the out-of-school time space is already moving forward and aligning with, or could be more aligned strategically with career education in our state. And with that, I'll turn it back to Chris and Jillian.
Thank you, Olivia. Yeah, it's so great to have like that local level, state level example of what's happening kind of in your backyard to really complement what's happening across the country when it comes to after school and CTE. I've got one more example that's not really so much the program level example like we've been talking about, but it's another example that might be of interest to you all that are listening. And this comes from our friends in Nebraska, so my second favorite state, second to Arkansas. Nebraska was able to, the Nebraska State Network, Beyond School Bells, was able to work with their State Department of Education and the CTE office within the Department of Education to create a curriculum that works within the after-school space that's focused on career exploration and career readiness to really make sure that students in middle school really understand what types of pathways they would need to pursue in order to have a career in a certain area of interest of theirs. So the Nebraska Network really worked to develop this curriculum. And I wanted to highlight this because I'm not saying that the folks on the phone here need to work directly with the State Department on a curriculum, because this has already been created. And now it's been created around the focus in careers within Nebraska, but there's ways to take what's included in this curriculum and maybe apply it more at the local level. So I think after this webinar, if you would like to take a look at this curriculum and see where it might align to some areas of interest within your region, this would be a great resource to use in an introduction maybe to a local CTE director within your local school district or maybe your region or community college. Come prepared with this resource. It's already been created and it's aligned to after school to say, hey, here's kind of what we can do within the after school space. Here's how we can help support you all and your ultimate goals for career and technical education within this school district. And we'd love to be a partner in that. So I wanted to share this one. And while it's not a program level example, it is, I think, something that's worthwhile to a lot of folks that are interested in this area of work within after school. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jillian, who will give us a nice overview of kind of what's changed within the Perkins CTE legislation and how we can kind of take advantage of that moving forward.
Great. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Levita, and thanks again to everyone who's joined this call. I'm going to be focusing on, as Chris said, on just some of the policy details of the 2018 law, the Strengthening Career and Technical Education Act for the 21st Century, otherwise really known as Perkins 5. And so on the next slide. So what I really want to point out is that career development has pretty much always been an exciting opportunity for after-school and summer programs, especially those serving slightly older youth, but even those introducing them to careers as early as elementary. And what this 2018 Perkins 5 law does is really just make that opportunity more connected than ever to the work that states and schools are also being tasked to do. And so the overarching goal that states have within this Perkins 5 law is to improve students' academic, technical, and employability skills. And the law really recognizes that in order to do this well, states and districts will need more flexibility, and they'll still have to work within parameters. And so I want to talk a little bit about those. The important thing is that in order to be flexible, you're really going to need to identify all the partners at your disposal in order to really create effective program services and activities. So on the next slide, you can see that in providing flexibility, there's definitely still important guidelines. And on this slide, we kind of show some of how the law is defining some of the parameters. So districts will be able to design CTE programs that fit, as Chris and Levita were saying, the local labor market and the available resources that they have. But in order to do that at that local level, they all must first be able to conduct a local needs assessment and bring together their data and stakeholders. And this is a really important piece of this new law, and so I'll come back to it again. The law also ensures that programs be tied to real jobs that students can access. And this is really that focus on labor market alignment that you are hearing Chris and Levita mention. And what you hear about in the law is these are jobs that are high skill, high wage, or in demand. And so that's a phrase that continues to come up. And while this law does not set specific performance levels at the federal level for states, it does require states themselves to define performance levels. And so states are setting right now, as plans are in process, their goals for what they call student concentrators, which are students who've taken at least two courses in a single CTE program of study, which are some of those topic areas that Chris was mentioning on the prior slides. And states will also be tracking their students' graduation rates, academic proficiency, and their next steps after graduation, whether that's post-secondary, military service, employment, or other forms of service, like national service as well. And finally, all states will be looking at CTE program quality measures. And that means they're going to be looking at potentially whether a student has earned post-secondary credentials or credits, but also work-based learning while in their high school program. And so on the next slide, you can just move forward. There you go. On this slide here, you can really see what this means for after school, because the new law actually created a lot of opportunities that connect specifically with the after school space. The first among them that's probably familiar to many on this call is employability skills. The law recognizes that when employers look to hire, they're not just looking for a student with technical skills, but a student who can communicate, collaborate, think creatively, problem solve, the skills that after-school programs for years have been working to develop with students and are known to improve outcomes on. And the law specifically mentions these. Additionally, the law talks a lot more about the career exposure and exploration piece. By the time students get to high school, asking them to choose a career means that they might only choose those careers that they've been made aware of prior to high school. And so the law recognizes that opening up that conversation early on, elementary and middle and high school, is really the best way to get students to understand what potential pathways are there for them once they enter into the career and technical education space. And so that is why, as Levita was saying, the law actually takes the funding that used to start at seventh grade and moves it down to fifth grade to really create new opportunities for programs to engage students in career exploration, exposure, as early as fifth grade and onward. Another area that the law talks about that is really interesting for the after-school space is the focus on non-traditional fields. And this is a field where one gender kind of dominates. So, for example, there are more women in nursing, more men in engineering. And so what it does is it says, you know, why is that the case, and how can we encourage more diversity within these workforce pathways? And the after-school field has been known to kind of help students feel comfortable in these spaces, and there are program examples throughout the country of really honing in on introducing students to career pathways that they might not have considered. This is also true for special populations in terms of ethnic and racial diversity as well. Another area in the law that's new to, or really focused on in the 2018 law with intermediaries, which are partners that can make those connections that schools sometimes are challenged to make themselves with partners in their community. An intermediary can make a connection with business, it can make a connection with the library, a work-based experience, a mentor that the students need to really think about their career pathway. And it also thinks about innovation and how do we do this differently? How do we continue to give students opportunities to grow? Because we know that a lot of the work of tomorrow is going to look a lot different than the work of today. And finally, it really focuses in on work-based learning and that hands-on experience that students need, getting them connected not just with the idea of work, but with the actual experience of work in real or at least realistic workplace settings. And so these are changes that really matter a lot for programs, after-school programs and summer programs, because as states and districts might have been doing these things for the past years in one way, they're now being asked to expand these areas and try things in new ways. And so they're often going to be eager to hear and to integrate ideas from programs like yours, which can say things like, we can help build career exposure, and here's how, or we have some great curriculum for problem solving in STEM if you would like some students of yours to participate, or maybe building out a partnership with a local business if they want some students to get that experience in work-based learning. So on this slide here, you can see that, you know, while states and districts are really being tasked to think creatively, one of the ways that they're doing it is through encouragement in terms of working with partners like all of you on the phone. And at the state level, the state planning process is going on right now. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. And that really requires stakeholder engagement with community partners. CTE is not expected to operate in the bureaucratic silo because students don't operate that way and communities don't operate that way either. So as Chris mentioned, some states like Nebraska are really integrating their after-school partners right at the state level to build out engagement or finding other creative ways to engage these conversations. And all programs in all states have a unique process that they're going through right now. At the local process, there's again an expectation and a requirement that the local comprehensive needs assessment work with and include partners, including those like all of you on the phone. And finally, and importantly, the law explicitly mentions now, although it was always allowed, that states and districts can fund youth-serving providers as part of their CTE programming because your value as a partner worth leveraging has really been recognized in this law. Next slide. So another thing I really want to point out on this slide is, if you weren't already familiar, that there's just a trend across the federal government to really include more partners and to think more comprehensively across different funding streams and to best serve youth from where the youth is. And so in 2015, when the ESSA, or the Every Student Succeeds Act, was reauthorized, this is the major $15 billion federal education law that governs most things in K-12 education and includes 21st Century Community Learning Center. When the law was reauthorized, the part with the 21st Century Community Learning Center funding actually started to include language that talked about CTE. So these laws are really beginning to work together and to include language that talks about workforce. The large workforce law called WIOA actually includes funds as well to work with youth. And the CTE Perkins law that we're discussing today includes ways to work with both workforce and other education and after school. So all these laws are integrating with one another. As programs, many of you may already be accessing one or more of these funding streams. If you aren't, it might be good to look into it, because as programs that serve youth directly, you really have the ability to braid these funding streams together in an integrated and a meaningful and a really impactful way that sometimes someone who is managing just the funding of one of these or just the paperwork for one of these can't really see on their own. So your perspective and position really matters, and the laws are really recognizing that by providing these opportunities for you to engage in the planning and also to receive the funding. Okay, the next slide. All right, so now, of course, you can engage, and the law certainly wants you to engage, but I guess the main question is, you know, how? And there are multiple ways to really engage with this process. Like many federal education laws, the process takes place in multiple stages. The law is, of course, considered by Congress with input and then passed. And then the federal government usually creates a template or a plan that states have to submit in order to get their funding. And so the states will complete this plan, which is happening right now, along with a lot of stakeholder input, and submit it back to the federal government. And once the federal government approves it, then the states can then get their funding, and then that state creates a process by which the districts will get their funding. and then the districts and partners will implement their plan at that district level and report back on their data and their success. So the federal, state to local process is ongoing now. And on the next slide, we kind of have a picture of the part that we're in. So right now, the law passed in 2018, and there was a one-year transition plan over the last year. So we're now in the stage where all states are defining their four-year CTE plan. And this is a really important stage to be aware of because it's where you really set the framework for what your state will be measuring and how your state will ask districts to implement this law. And it's ongoing now. For Arkansas, the 60-day public comment period for your plan, as Levita was saying, is happening now, and it looks like she's put the plan in the box on the right of the screen, and that comment period will close on January 25th. So now is a perfect time to think about some comments that you might want to have your state consider as they finalize that plan. And there are actually also some language and tools in that box that you can use to submit ideas as well as think through some of your own. And the really important goal here is to just remind the state how important it is that districts end up working with community partners, including after school and summer programs, like many of those of you on the phone. Okay, the next slide. And then on this slide, this is a lot, but what this is really showing is that after the state planning process is complete and the federal government approves the state plan, it will go down to the local level. And at the local level, it's really time for local planning and the local needs assessment process. And so around, I would say to anybody on this call, maybe around summer this time of year, you can reach out for a conversation to your local district CTE director and just have a conversation with them, talk to them about their goals for the district, how and when they might be thinking about their planning, describe your work, and brainstorm ways you can collaborate. This will not only help the district achieve their goals, but it also provides the opportunity to give youth additional opportunities to connect to their future paths, and it may also provide some extra resources for your program to allow your program to do what it does even better. And so on this slide, I just point out some of the work being done by the NAEP organization, which actually is looking at how partners in the field can help with the local planning and has really identified a number of after-school and summer programs and examples that they think fit right into the local planning process in terms of helping special populations, getting students hands-on experience, and career exposure through an equity lens. So there's a lot that the field can do. And with that, I'll turn it back to Chris on our team.
Thanks so much, Jillian. So that was a great overview of kind of what's in the new law and how after school can make the case for being involved in the local efforts around career and technical education. So we want to also touch on some different resources that we have here at the After School Alliance that we've created for our state after school networks, but also some of their partners at the local level to really make the strongest case for why after school should be involved or included in the state and local plans around career and technical education. So next slide, please. So here's a national one-pager that we put together that really looks at what's called Rethinking CTE, and that's kind of, I want to draw attention to Rethinking CTE because the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, really put an emphasis around Rethinking CTE. So we've kind of couched a lot of our language and program examples of ways that after school can be kind of that innovator within the CTE space. So this national level one pager kind of takes a look at what CTE is and how after school can complement it. We've looked at a lot of different STEM type programs that fall within the same kind of focus area of CTE and shown some examples, but also some data points and outcomes that have been associated with different programming that come from some national level studies, scientific studies around the outcomes associated with after-school STEM. So we've got some great data points. I think this is a good one to use as kind of that top line resource, but thinking about how you can localize it to an Arkansas example. I know we heard two great examples from Levita around CTE programs in Arkansas, but also what can you kind of take from your program that you're doing around this space and weave it into to localize this national level one pager into a more specific local level example. So that's one of our first example of a way, a resource that you all are more than welcome to use. I've got the URL link there, so either when these slides are sent out or it might actually be available elsewhere. You can also look on our website by typing in career pathways, and that'll take you to the page that has a lot of these resources on it. So that's one resource that we have that you can feel free to use. Next slide, please. This is another resource that we put together a few months back to make the strongest case and really prepare advocates. So you all on the phone, so everyone involved in After School is an advocate of some sort, with some different types of messaging that we feel will resonate most effectively with state and local CTE folks. So this looks at different types of the law that Jillian kind of went into in her section, and provides some different types of talking points, but also some background info and data that you can use to make the strongest case. So this is more of, you know, if you're going into a meeting with your local CT director at the school district or the local community college, and you want to make sure that you've got all of your talking points ready, we want you to use this messaging document. So feel free to take whatever you can from this and maybe localize it to your specific program, but really use this as a resource to make the strongest case when you go into some of these meetings with the CT directors. And next slide. Ooh, awesome. Lavita, did you want me to cover this, or did you want to give an overview of this one?
I'll take this, and I think Carl can actually click on these links. So we're going to try this. The first thing, I just want to go back, because I think there are two things to really highlight. The first thing was from Jillian's presentation, and when she said, after the plans are adopted and approved by the governor signs off, and then it goes back to the USD DOE, then it comes back to the local level. And so there'll be opportunities for us to engage. But right now we need to focus on our engagement at the state level with our our career education department, where this draft plan lives. And so the first link, Carl, if you're ready, this is just the link to the Perkins, and it has a lot of the same. This is Perkins from the Arkansas State perspective. And so if you click on that first link, and we are going to send these slides out, Carl, if you can just scroll down that page a little bit. But you can see our Arkansas Perkins slides. They've had a whole series of stakeholder meetings, and this just walks you through the Arkansas planning process, some of the meetings they've had for stakeholder engagement. The Arkansas School Network staff have actually been to a couple of those meetings. We've already provided some initial comments to kind of begin to shape some thinking around this. But that's the first link. And so, Carl, if we get out of that and then go to the second link, and this shows where we've been and where we need to go as a state. So this is the draft plan. So if you were to click on this link, it takes you directly to the draft plan. So, Carl, if you'll click on that second link, if you can. Yeah. And so it'll take you to this page. And if you scroll down and move your screen up just a little bit, Carl, you can see where all the go back up just a little, not quite that much. Okay. And you can see where all, and I want to highlight this because, you know, this is talking about, and Jillian talked about it earlier, the connection between Perkins 5 and the WIOA. And so we know that every entity in our state, career education, our Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, our Department of Workforce Services, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Our state workforce development and workforce investment boards, our local workforce investment boards are all looking at this across their different sectors. And hopefully we're not doing this in a silo, and I don't think we are. But if you look at the public comment section, you'll see the draft Perkins plan. Excuse me. Yeah, just go to the last link, Carl. Okay, this is what it looks like when you click on that link. If we just scroll through that page just a little bit. And it's a lengthy document, but just freeze there. And, you know, this is what the cover breaks. So this is the real draft. I just want folks to see this. And this will go back to the department, the U.S. Department of Education. And you can see where our state agency folks. But just keep scrolling through, Carl. This is like the first couple of pages. So I just want folks to see that this is a real document. This is a living, breathing thing that we can impact now. And once you get through a lot of it, and again, it mentions ESSA and all of those things. And it talks about all, and I just want you to freeze for a minute, go to that next page, Carl. So a lot has already been happened in our state in 2019 in terms of outreach, regional outreach from the Department of Career Education to communities around the state. And so even if you didn't have an opportunity to attend any of these, it's okay. We still have an opportunity to submit those public comments, because if we don't, as the after-school field, the out-of-school time field, if we don't comment, then none of the wonderful, innovative things that you're already doing will make it into that plan, and it will not be elevated to the level at which it can be acted upon. And so it's very important. And just scroll down a couple more pages, Carl. So this is where we really begin to talk about the state's vision for post-secondary, secondary and post-secondary. So you begin to see things kind of come together here. And so we can keep scrolling through just a little bit more, and you can see how important it is that we want to see things in there that references out of school time. Keep going, Carl. I was trying to get to this goal page. And so you kind of see where these student goals fall in the alignment with elementary and secondary education goals, and all that comes into play. And so you could actually see where out of school time could fit when you begin to think about soft skills, promoting learning, thinking about success in college, career, and life, employability skills. And so we obviously have a place and a role to play in this. And so if we can just back out of this document, Carl. Okay. The very last link, let's click on that right quick. Yeah. And if you just move down a little bit, public comment. No. Go back up and click on public comment. To the right, the arrow to the right.
Arrow. I'm not seeing it.
See it? Yep. There you are. You're right on it. And so, this is what I have to say. When you want to comment, you have to click. Once you go to that link, and we're going to send this PowerPoint out to you all with these live links, and it will say State Pat Perkins Draft Plan. You will have already clicked on public comment, and then you click on the next link where it says Enter Comments Here. So go ahead and click on that, Carl. And that's where you just type your thoughts, your ideas. So let's go back to the PowerPoint, Carl. Okay, and let's expand the menu on the right-hand side. So this is very important. And then after we do this, and let's look at the documents. Let's pull up one of the documents, if we can. So when we expand our menu on the right, in the actual handouts that we've uploaded, and what we want you to take a look at is the sample language for public to be used to guide your thoughts when making public comments. So Carl, can you open that? And what we want to open is the Word document where it says Perkins CTE Plans Example Language. If we can get that one to open. There we go. It's very important. And what I really want folks on the call to know is this is not hard. We've got some things, thanks to the After School Alliance and Chris and Jillian and Eric Peterson and so many others, if we could just kind of scroll through this. So this document serves to assist us. Go back up just a little bit. So you all will have access to everything you need so that you can read. So what I suggest you do is read through this draft language. Think about your program. Think about what you would like to see all kids in Arkansas have to their disposal to prepare them for careers and life. And think about how important it is to ensure that our state plan for Perkins 5 reflects that. And then simply use this as a tool with some guiding language, but you'll put it into your own words. And then when you go to the career education site for the Perkins draft plan and click on make a public comment, you'll be able to already have some language queued up. And so what I suggest you do is just use this and put it into your own words, write a few statements down, get it together, and then go ahead and upload some comments before the 25th of January. And so with that, Carl, we can back out of all of that, and I will turn it back to Jillian and Chris for, questions and wrap up. So thank you all.
Yeah, thank you so much, Levita. That was a great kind of overview of what that process looks like, and I want to give a special shout out to Jillian, who really kind of spearheaded that language document, that Word document that we just shared. And echo what Levita said. Feel free to kind of copy and paste what you feel is most pertinent to like your what are you an expert in, and tweak to your language. I mean, I think whether or not you might know that you're doing CT, if you're doing any kind of work within career exploration or career exposure within your after school or summer program, that's something that the state needs to know about. So when they start to put this plan together and finalize it, they have a better understanding of what youth serving organizations and community partners that are working in the after school space, how they can become real partners with their CT initiatives at the local level. The last kind of slide here is just additional resources that we have that may be of interest to you, especially if you're going into a meeting with a local CT director. We've got an issue brief on how after school really works on building workforce skills within students that are in the program. We've got another fact sheet that gives a nice overview. It's similar to our one-pager on the CT one-pager I shared earlier, but it's focused entirely on STEM. But like I said, there's a lot of overlap between STEM and CTE, especially if you look at a lot of those different career clusters, how many are focused or are at least focused around STEM foundational skills. So this thank you so much, Carl. This one-pager here and issue or fact sheet is a great example of a resource to share in those meetings. And then the last one that we have is America After 3 p.m., and Levita mentioned this earlier. What this has is a lot of different information specifically to Arkansas on career or availability of after school, parents' attitudes towards after school, how important it is to them. And there's also some nice data on STEM specific and then some rural data as well. And I will say we are actually in the process. We're just about to go into the field, hopefully in the next few months, with our 2020 data. So this is from 2014. So later this fall, we'll hopefully have all of our data for 2020 to update all of this. So you'll have fresh data come, late 2020, early 2021 that you can use to continue your advocacy. But for now, this is what we have available, and I think it will be of use to a lot of the folks that are doing this work. So with that, thank you so much. So on behalf of the Ask School Alliance and myself and Jillian, thank you so much for having us, Levita. If you have any questions, we're happy to share what we may know.
Yep, this is the time to any question that you might have or a comment, we'll pause for a moment. You can either type it in the chat box or raise your hand or unmute and unmute your line on your phone. And why don't we just do that, unmute your line. And we have national experts, but I'll also say while you're thinking about your questions or comments, that we have a wonderful working relationship in terms of the network and our partners at the Department of Career Education. And they've actually been to one of our national network meetings, Chris and Jillian, and they were super impressed with the field as a whole. And so they do see this opportunity to work with us, but they need to hear from folks other than me. And so I strongly encourage you all to make sure you comment. And now that we have our experts available to us for a few more minutes, go ahead and ask ask them a question or anything that needs to be clarified. And I don't know if she made it on the call. I hate to put folks on the spot. Dr. Mitchell, were you able to join us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. One of the things, and let me just say, Dr. Mitchell is the executive director of the Arkansas State STEM Coalition. They are also leading the work around the STEM learning ecosystem in our state. And so, Suzanne, I know you've been a champion and a co-laborer with us on Out of School Time. What's your thinking and as you sit here and listen to all the wonderful opportunities to connect career education and STEM learning? Just love to have your thoughts about this.
Well, I think this webinar has been a great start to inform all of us about what's going on. And I think that it's very important for the nonprofits, the Out of School Time, the business people that we work with in the STEM Coalition to know what's going on. So I plan to take a lot of this information and the handouts and actually share it at my next board meeting. So I think we have a responsibility to roll out any of this information to the communities around the state. I think the handouts and the PowerPoint, and I was just trying to figure out how to print these handouts.
We can get them to you, Dr. Yeah, we can make sure you get them, Dr. Mitchell.
Okay.
We'll get them to Carl and I, and you know if we need help from the alliance, but we'll make sure you get them.
All right, great. And I just appreciate your time and everyone's time on the webinar. I've certainly learned a lot today, so thank you.
With that, do we have any comments from any of our Out of School Time providers? We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, this is hello. This is Larry Clark, Sr., Coach Clark, Life Skills for You, and this is awesome. This is what we have been working on. I got a question from Chris. He talks about the career clusters, and I think he mentioned 16 and career path. Do we already have, or have we identified organization that will be able to allow our kids to, say, do interns? And then also, of course, I've heard definitely what you mentioned about pay and getting credit. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I think what you're referencing there is the Uncommon Construction Program that's currently based in New Orleans, Louisiana at the moment. But we certainly see them as a model that can be replicated in other areas. Now, they've focused a lot on working very closely with the school district itself on creating these opportunities for credit for the students to participate in this program. So they're participating in Uncommon Construction's, you know, work-based learning opportunities, and they're getting school credit along with pay. And those are the types of examples that we want to elevate for folks on the line, but also with some of our national partners and saying, hey, here's a great example of what's already working well in the community. I would encourage you, and we can try to make this connection for you as well, but I would encourage you to take a look at Uncommon Construction's website to learn a little bit more about what they're doing. I will give a shout out to our partners at Advanced CTE, which is like the national organization for all the state CTE directors. We're working with them on a blog that should be out hopefully in the next few weeks that will highlight Uncommon Construction, so there'll be a lot more detail around that. That we'll hopefully be able to share out. Lavita will definitely share it out through some of our channels here, and if you want to share it out with your local network or the state network itself, that could be of interest to a lot of folks, especially if they go into meetings with some of their CT directors coming from the director side or the advanced CTE side, complementing the after-school side, I think would be incredibly resourceful to a lot of folks.
Absolutely.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. One thing I want to say, Coach Clark, and you and I talk all the time,
yes,
is this.
You are already
doing the employability skills development with you through your time, anger, and money management component in your program.
Thank you.
And so one of the things that I think is important for everyone on the call to think about is if you have a component like that, you need to quickly go to that public comment section and begin talking about employability. Because these examples may, I mean, you know, obviously it's my job to know where everyone is in the state and what they're doing. But our career education in our state has largely been focused on K-12 and in school. And what we're saying,
yes,
what the law now says, is that there's an opportunity to be more innovative and work more intentionally with our community-based partners. So everyone on here probably has an example. And if even if it's not happening, and I'll give you one other opportunity to think through, we also have our local workforce investment boards who are looking at WIOA and those plans and implementation. And so this is the opportunity to begin having those conversations. And so what I will say, like Larry and others have examples, you should be putting those examples and saying, I'd like to see more of these opportunities in my local school district and working with our local education partner to implement some of these innovative ideas. And so really want to hit home that example that Larry Clark is important. It's in Pulaski County, but I can think of examples in Pine Bluff. I can think of examples that are occurring in Crossett in southwest Arkansas, a little further south from Little Rock in the Benton Bryant area that we've already talked about. There are many such examples. And our local workforce investment boards, our state workforce development board, our career education department, and our Department of Education, they all need to learn about this. And so if you all need help in pulling your comments together, that's what we're here for. We're going to send this PowerPoint slide out to you all along with the resources and the handouts, the sample language. All of that will go out within the next 3 to 5 business days. And we'll also post all of this to our website along with the recording. But in the meantime, I think on the last slide, our contact information is there, Carl. Since we're running over a little bit, I won't belabor this anymore, but reach out to us. We want to help. We're going to be uploading comments. Even if you have a board of directors, and like Dr. Mitchell has said, she's going to work with her board to think through this and how that what they can do. Every nonprofit on this call that's a youth-serving organization, you have a board of directors. Let them know about this. Share this information. You need help with that. Contact us, and we will help you with that presentation. So the more folks we have involved, the better. And so with that, I'd like to say thank you again to Chris Neitzy and Jillian Luckner from the After School Alliance, along with a thank you and a shout-out to Carl Benz, who works here at the network, for operating our slides and making sure our technology ran smoothly, and to all of you on the call. We thank you so much for your time and your attention today, and we will be sending out these slides and information and a reminder to make your public comments within the next 3 to 5 business days. So thank you all. Happy New Year, and make it a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Children. Sleep up to 36 hours a cap. Okay. All right. It is eight.
He probably does for a few minutes or maybe an hour, but, you know, he's probably going to go to the bathroom out there. I know, but... Yeah. Right. That's good. Yeah.